It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running for this, the 18th day of July 2018. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. We've got both streams up and running. Not sure what's going on with TuneIn. It's just weird sometimes the way that all this, who knows? Packets passing, series of tubes, who knows? Right. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And it's the 18th day of July 2018. It is the middle of the week. It is Wednesday, hump day, downhill to Friday. And brethren and sistren, I'm going to tell you right off the bat that I'm a little tired, a little wore out. Have a long day here. Up at 5:30 to be out of here at 7 to go and pick up our daughter, our eldest, and take her to her first post-surgery follow-up after some fairly significant surgery. And so that was I've been on the road all day, in other words. For those who care and those who are concerned, she appears to be okay, but we don't know everything yet. She'd probably tear me to pieces for say it. The fact of the matter is, as is the case with so many people in West Virginia, she probably had her well-being negatively impacted by things that she breathed over the course of her childhood growing up in the sacrifice zone. And a week or so ago, she had the entirety of her thyroid removed because it had gone rotten at the tender age of 30. These things happen. They seem to happen a lot in the sacrifice zone of Appalachistan. But the bottom line is, out the door at 7 and got in the door about an hour ago. And if I seem a little slow or just a little bit spacey, not the Kevin kind. That's why. Just so you'll know. Hey, what's wrong with my... No. It's been a worrisome day, and her mother and I have been worrying a lot over the last week, and frankly, over the last weeks and months and years. Glad to finally have the damn thing out, but it apparently having that thing removed takes a lot out of you, and the recovery is not particularly easy. I kidded with her, and I told her there were absolutely no scars from where they had the bolts in her neck or anything. So, you know, take your victories where you can find them. But we're still waiting on biopsy stuff and follow-up information. But she'll be doing blood work but that's where the program is this evening. and my, you know, I'm not my usual steel trap, rusted shut minded kind of self. But hopefully we'll get through the program, unless you hear something like, and then you'll know that I've just sort of nodded off during the program. Sorry, maybe you can help me stay bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. BT, we call it, bushy-tailed. Mm-hmm. Let's see, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and I mean, you know, by the time I got back, bless their hearts, the little old blue-haired ladies down in the fellowship hall kitchen, they had done their thing. I have no idea what they fixed this evening, but they were kind enough to leave me a, they left me a plate with a grilled pimento cheese sandwich on it, and glass of homemade lemonade sweetened with what do you call it Splenda, and they left me one of those little itsy bitsy mini cups of Häagen-Dazs ice cream that's nothing but cream and milk and sugar and vanilla, and it was nice. It was very nice. And so by the time I wandered in, the deacons had already trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs. I have no reason to believe that this evening was any different than any other evening. And I know for a fact that they were out there chain smoking with the sinners, because as I was walking into the pulpit, I heard the crackle of the Cathedral of Common Sense solar powered cattle prod. And the next thing I knew, I heard the thunderous hoofbeats of the deaconate as they blew past Sister Carol Baker, blew into the through the vestibule, past that desiccating bowl of butter mints, and came bounding on down the center aisle and grabbed up the heavy brass burgundy velvet lined collection plates to pass amongst the faithful of the congregation here, as the program begins. So, that being the case, brethren and sisters, I will ask the deacons to fan out amongst us. Thanks to our subscribers. Before we go any further, thank you very kindly to Grace in New York. Thank you, Grace. Grace is a subscriber to the effort to keep the program on the air, a partial sponsor of the program each and every month. Thank you to Jeff in Oregon, also a partial sponsor of the program, helping to keep it on the air every month. And thanks very kindly to Charlene, who does so very much indeed to help keep the program on the air every evening. And with our subscribers, you know, we managed to knock out about a week's worth of the fundraising in any given month. And I thank, and on behalf of the Horn Family Community Congregation, I thank them with all my heart for what they do. So thank you very kindly to our subscribers. Thanks also to a person who shall remain nameless, a technical person who often lives underneath the cone of silence, but comes out from under it every now and then to help keep the program on the air. And in fact, responded to Gary and Gaia's cough it up challenge, which is monumentally helpful. And all told, that means that we have we've taken a bite out of the fundraising goal, and we have we've managed to knock it down this evening to $545 to go. To come up even with the week, and then we're getting very nearly to the place where otherwise we would like to be having fundraising free radio. So we've got $545 to go to get even through the middle of the week. So that little PayPal button's in the bottom of the heavy brass offering plate with the burgundy velvet liner, and the PayPal button in the middle of it there. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sisters, I'm going to call the minister of music up to lead us all in the offertory hymn. Amen. Glory. And just keep your one eye scrunched open just a little bit so that you won't get a concussion. plate comes on past you. You know, we don't do any open praying here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, because there's warnings in the Bible and in the New Testament again doing that. But we're going to be talking about some public praying here in a little bit, brother and sister, and we certainly are. And so as the plate comes by, just make sure it doesn't hurt you. Take it, press the button. If you'd like to become a subscriber, just like folks like Grace, folks like Grace and Jeff and Charlene, then click the other little button that says "Make this a recurring monthly payment," and you'll be among some of the finest company in radio, in terms of radio communities today. The fine company of those who help keep the horn on the air, to the tune of like an eighth of a really fancy schmancy cup of coffee, an eighth of the cost for, you know, every program. Listen to a week and a half of the horn and you're down one cup of coffee. So with that having been mentioned, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to call up the Minister of Music to lead us in the offertory prayer. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Hutsut, Rillerah on the Brawler, Brawler, Suet, brethren and sistren, I love you. Welcome to prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. How glory! Oh, mercy sakes, brethren and sistren, I'm calling upon you now to get up out of your seat and get up onto your feet. How, amen. And screech and scrunch, and wiggle and waggle and waddle. And be careful as you come up out of the pews, because it's a narrow space in there, and you don't want to put your pew anywhere except in the pew where it was pew. And come on out and come on down that blood-red aisle. Ho, glory! And fall upon your knees. Ho! Amen at the altar, and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. Amen. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Ponerized Pontiff, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Antagonized Agnostic, Animated Animist, Maximum Mufti Bob Kincaid. And this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, live, amen, from the Cathedral of Common Sense. Glory, hallelujah. I told you earlier, brethren and sisters, that even though we don't do any public praying because, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, warned rather strenuously against doing such things, public praying. He warned that if you have anything to say to your Father which is in heaven, right, what you want to do is shut yourself up in a closet, he said. Get in the closet and get what you got to say said, and then go about your business. Now, you can find it there in Matthew chapter 6. And he says, exactly as I described it, don't be hooting and hollering about and praying publicly to show how awesome you are or how favored of God you are. He said that's what the Pharisees do, and they have their reward. And that's one of those moments in the New Testament when Jesus was being right snarky. Mm-hmm. But you'll be hard-pressed to convince a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian not to do that. You about can't convince a Republican not to do that. Y'all know. And for years and years and years, brethren and sistren, they've had something that they call the National Prayer Breakfast. They get together and they have prayers and they talk trash on Democrats and pray imprecatory prayers, and sometimes, brethren and sisters, they have guests, special guests. At one point in time, they had a noted fetal brain surgeon. I think the reference, we now understand that the reference means that he had the brain of a fetus. Ben, pyramids were grain silos. Carson, who called out the Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, Barack Obama, from the National Prayer Breakfast. Well, brethren and sister, and there was another guest there. Mm-hmm. I guess she's going to, going forward, she's going to have to get her praying done Matthew 25 style. Because that particular guest, according to an indictment, the indictment that we've been talking about for a couple of days, that particular guest at the National Prayer Breakfast was 29-year-old Russian alleged spy Maria Butina. Mm-hmm. She's facing up to 15 years of federal time if she is convicted of the counts against her, spying on behalf of the Russians and, well, you know, acting as an unregistered foreign agent. We've been having us a nice hypocritical national prayer breakfast since about 1953. And back in 1953, I guess maybe it was a little bit of a gentler time, but not that much gentler. A Methodist preacher, named Abraham Varide decided to combine breakfast with prayer. Pancakes and prayer. Warm maple syrup and melty butter and waffles with prayer. Bacon and prayer. Salty, sugar-cured Virginia country ham and thoughts and prayers. Well, that was then. Now it draws, on an annual basis, about 4,000 hypocrites per year who do exactly what their Savior told them not to do. That is, go about praying loudly in public like the Pharisees do. Right? Yeah, let me see if I can get Matthew 6 up here. In the King James Version, of course. Because that God speaks, and we all know God speaks Elizabethan English. Let's start at the beginning so nobody can accuse us of taking Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi's words out of context. Verse 1, he says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Do your good deeds quietly," in other words. "Therefore when you dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets and at the national prayer breakfast." No, he didn't say that part. "That they may have the glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Those are the first four verses, and then he gets around to verse 5, which is kind of what we're after at the moment, brethren and sisters. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you need of before ye ask him." Kind of obviates the need for prayer at all, doesn't it? Of course, after all this time, I think an argument could be made that the Almighty may have gone a little deep, being how he can't hear the screams and the cries of kidnapped children at the southern border and little children separated from their parents and thrown into filthy internment camps all over the country. Yeah, you know, where mamas are told, when for instance, one mama in a new report, one mama said that she had a one-year-old with her, and they wasn't giving her anything but formula. And the baby was well into solid food by now, and she said, she asked one of the screws for some solid food for her one-year-old, who then replied to her, and this is not a joke, and I'm not making it up, "You want a skinny baby or a dead baby? We ain't running a social service here." So she gave up her asylum claim, realizing that her child was in as much or more danger in the United States of America the home of the brave and land of the free, as the child was in Mexico, where people are found with their heads chopped off and all shot up, and because of drug cartel gang activity, you know, that we make worse. But, no, the Almighty, I mean, if you shut up in prison and you pray, and I think that probably meets the Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 standard there. No, those prayers went mostly unanswered. God knows decent Christians out there have been praying their little heads off, trying to stop the gun violence fostered by the National Ruble. I mean, rifle. No, I really mean Ruble Association. Not so much luck. I don't know. Maybe your Christians would say, "Hey, our prayers are being answered." The National Ruble. I really mean Ruble Association, led by Ollie North, a man who ran a secret scam to bring foreign monies into American politics some 35 years or so ago. Well, that organization's getting exposed. But to get back to the National Prayer Breakfast, lo and behold, there at a recent incarnation of the National Prayer Breakfast, Maria Butina was an honored guest there, photographs and everything. Then, back on October the 5th, 2016, Maria Butina said, she sent a message to one of her Russian official friends and said, "We made our bet. I am following our game. I will be connecting the people from the prayer breakfast to this group." Then, after the 2016 election, she spoke to someone identified in the indictment as U.S. person number one. She said, "Some very influential Russians will be coming to a National Prayer Breakfast." And, of course, Julius Geezer, the traitor, the man in Putin's pocket, he showed up for that prayer breakfast, the 2017 one. That was the one where he stood up and blathered on about Arnold Schwarzenegger's ratings on The Apprentice. After that National Prayer Breakfast, Maria Butina wrote to someone, one of the organizers of the prayer breakfast, and thanked him for what she referred to as the gift of precious time during National Prayer Breakfast week and for a very private meeting that followed. A new relationship between two countries always begins better when it begins in faith. No, I'm not going to do that. So, she got around Maria Butina, and I'm hard-pressed to see that there is a whole lot of Christianity or Christian urgency or Christian mission in what she got and what she got up to at the National Prayer Breakfast. She was connecting her handlers in Mother Russia to the people they wanted to handle, and handle handily. Oh, there's a deep relationship between the evangelical right and Mother Russia. But it's going to, like I said, it's going to be Matthew 25 time now for Maria Butina. You know what I mean by Matthew 25 time. That's where Jesus says, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, day laborer, and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, he says, you know, the work you need to be about is visiting people in prison and visiting the sick and clothing the naked and housing the homeless. And he said, if you've not done it unto the least of these, you've not done it unto me. Meaning that he was putting himself in the place of the imprisoned, the sick, the homeless, the naked, the needy, who seem to be pretty much the focus of what we refer to as his ministry. Well, some of these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian maggots going to have some decisions to make. Because as of today, Maria Butina, who showed up with more famous Republicans than Forrest Gump showed up with famous people at all, well, she went to jail today. Because the federal government argued, and successfully so, and probably despite any hopes that Geezer Disgustus may have had, that being as how she really didn't have any particularly firm connections to the United States of Merca, that seeing as how she was charged with a couple of federal felonies, it might be a good idea to keep her in the stir, on a pretrial basis, of course. And so a federal judge ordered her to await trial in prison, lest she hightail it back to Daddy Vladdy before justice could be served. So we'll wait and find out, and we'll wait to see just how many of those fine evangelical prayer meeting attending Republicans channel their inner Matthew 25 to go and pray with her in prison. Are you kidding me? I'm not gonna go see that woman in prison. Jesus Christ, she's got pictures with every Republican under the sun, from Wayne the Peter to Scott Walker. Holy crap, to David Clarkey. Ah, hell, there's pictures of her standing in the same room with Donald Trump. I'm not going to go see her. Fuck Jesus. Pray louder, Maria. Your God can't hear you. I ain't going to get my ass indicted. Of course, it's worth noting that at least one member of Congress, the man referred to as Russia's favorite member of Congress, California's Dana Rohrabacher, whose constituents don't seem to have any problem with having a pro-Russian asset for a member of for their representative in D.C. Well, he said it's all a bunch of baloney anyway, and there's nothing to it, and you know, yada, yada, yada. Because Dana Rohrabacher. But if there was nothing to it, a federal judge could have looked at the indictment and said, hey, there's nothing to this. Dismissed. But instead, no, the federal judge said, Ms. Butina, did you bring your toothbrush today? Good. Because, you know, sometimes people feel more comfortable if they got their own toothbrush there while they're waiting trial in prison. One can only hope she doesn't get the VIP suite recently vacated by Paul Manafort. Here's a fun question just raised by Brother Deacon Asa. Can Russian asset Donald Trump pardon Maria Butina? Yep. If you imagine Comrade Kumquat as a piece on a chessboard, he's in a far corner with just about every one of Robert Mueller's pieces surrounding him. And he's kind of stuck. And the pressure's building. If he pardons Maria Butina on the heels of the treason summit, it's going to look might suspect. It's going to look like he's doing the bidding of his boss, Daddy Vladdy. On the other hand, the longer he lets her rot, the greater the likelihood that perhaps she will decide to start singing a Russian aria. Or maybe she'll just sit there and keep quiet and hope that Daddy Vladdy's pals can't get a poison pellet in through the federal prison system. But then again, also, if the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini pardons Maria Butina, it's going to be all the tougher for him to pardon Paul Manafort, whose trial is, of course, upcoming, and who is up to his eyeballs in ozies of dirty money to, what's his name, Oleg Deripaska? I want my money. So, as the saying goes, watch this space, because it's going to get more and more interesting. I have no sympathy for her whatsoever. Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, daughter of that minister of the gospel and salesman of a fake bullshit diabetes cure, Mike Huckstaby. She tried to explain away traitorous behavior today. I'm sorry, not today, yesterday. Like I said, I'm a little slow. The phrase double negative entered the lexicon in a big and public way, as he claimed that he didn't say, "I don't see any reason why it would be," in regard to whether Russia was meddling in our election. He misspoke. He meant to say, "I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be." And, of course, if you believe that, well, I've got a fantastic bridge. Runs all the way from Manhattan to Brooklyn to sell you. But double negative. Yeah, double negative. In the age of Trump, there's a movie clip for everything. Oh, yes, there most assuredly is. And this is no different. No. And it's a particularly dandy one, I might add, because it features highly talented actors and a great screwball comedy send up of murder mysteries past. I mean, of course, Clue.
Well, to be perfectly frank, I run a specialized hotel and a telephone service which provide gentlemen with the company of a young lady for a short while.
Oh, yeah? What's the phone number?
So how did you know Colonel Mustard works in Washington? Is he one of your clients?
Certainly not.
I was asking Miss Scarlet.
Well, you tell him it's not true.
It's not true.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Ha-ha! So it is true.
A double negative.
Double negative? You mean you have photographs? That sounds like a confession to me. In fact, the double negative has led to proof positive. I'm afraid you gave yourself away.
Are you trying to make me look stupid in front of the other guests?
Don't need any help from me, sir.
That's right.
That's right. with Martin Mull in the role of Donald Trump. And the little comic genius moment just almost slips by. A double negative. Does that mean you have photographs? Yes, comrade, it means he has photographs. He also has live video. Absolutely. Lee tells me that Trump literally is a double negative because negative is not enough for Trump. He's more negative than the negative view sane people have of him. He's more negative than anybody's ever been negative. He's the negativist MAGA making negative that America's negatively MAGA ever MAGA had had negative. Lee also pointing out in regard to Maria Butina, the only scandal that I believe did not happen is a sexual encounter with the current POTUS. He will be upset that he missed an opportunity. On the other hand, there were apparently, according to published reports, offers by her of sex. Because, you know, with Russian agent, there's always offer of sex. Sex and cameras and microphones. In the hotel rooms, yes. Because his Russian way is compromat. Da, da, yet, no, yet, da. And that is double negative positive, the da, yet, yes, no, da, yet, yet, da. It has become confusing after a while. But no, there was Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. Basically, just making plain to the world her contempt for anything resembling facts or the truth. Explaining that when he said to. Know that he thought when the entire world knew he meant that no, the Russians are not still meddling in our electoral process, and somehow or another that meant no more questions. But you have to read the more questions in after the no. And actually, somebody there in the White House briefing room wasn't having it.
Hey, Howard, two questions for you, and I want to just clarify something you talked about at the beginning of the briefing. So despite the video that shows the president looking at Cecilia and answering no to this question about whether Russia is still targeting the U.S., and despite multiple people in the room understanding that the president was responding to that question, and despite the president having never before said the word no repeatedly to usher reporters out of the room... You're saying it's reverse. You're saying the president said this is the
first thing that the president said after the question was asked was thank you very much, and then he said no, I'm not answering any more questions. And even further, I think even Cecilia didn't realize what the answer was because she asked for clarification and he didn't answer the follow up. Again, I right because she wasn't sure. I talked to the president. He wasn't answering that question. He was saying no. He's not taking questions. And I've stated what our position is.
Let me get my question, sir, because I haven't actually asked it yet, which is the president, now this is the second time in 3 days that the president of the White House has come out and reversed what the president has said. To the
actually,
opposite of what
I'm interpreting
Sarah.
What the president said.
But
I'm not reversing
the
it.
Opposite way. Why
I was in the
president...
room as well, and I didn't take it.
Oh, wait a minute. What?
the way you did.
I was interpreting. Jesus. Oh, please, no interpretive dance, Sarah. An interpretive dance to spring. An interpretive dance to the 4th of July. An interpretive dance to treason. She's not saying what she's interpreting. Maybe she got some interpreting practice over there, but no. Watching the president's words interpreted into weasel speak for his owner. Thank you, Jack. Note coming from Jack. Maria Butina can kill you, too. She may look sweet, but Julia Yaffe tweeted, in which I went shooting at an old KGB shooting range with Maria Butina, who was arrested today on charges of being a Russian agent. She had written for the New Republic. After Butina had finished with her introduction, the instructor, Igor Shmelev, demonstrated the drill. It went as follows. Cock your pistol. Take two shots at a cardboard target. Scurry to the left. Take two shots at a metal target. Duck back through a plywood screen door. Open the door. Take two shots. Knock down another target. Duck back in. Reload. Open the door. Take two more shots at a smaller target. Lean around the corner. Shoot down another one. This seemed less like shooting practice than a rehearsal for an action movie. When her turn came, Butina's movements were sure and sharp, and when she was done, she turned and flashed a face that was all no-nonsense, tight-lipped happiness. Is merely proving that she cares about Second Amendment rights, which do not exist for Russian people, but which she cherishes in United States of America, which is why she has so many contacts at National Ruble. I really mean the Ruble Association, da. Oh, Lord Almighty. Isn't that just something? But there was a happy ending to the clip.
But why should this president have any credibility to Americans in what he says if, in fact, 24 hours later, or in this case, 3 hours later, the White House comes out and says, just kidding?
First of all, that's not what I said. I was interpreting what the president's intention was and stating the administration's policy. It's not exactly what you just explained. We never said...
Pretty damn close there, Sarah. Aunt Lydia.
Just kidding. And I think that you can take the fact that the president has credibility because he saw that he had misspoken, and he wanted to clarify that yesterday, which he...
Yeah, he saw that there were a few thousand people in Lafayette Park screaming traitor at the top of their lungs. And a few of them might have even at one time or another been maggots. And several, there were more than a few folks in Congress saying not particularly nice things about him. Like, for instance, Steny Hoyer. Steny Hoyer is fairly high up in the Democratic leadership in the House of Representatives. Yesterday, he described the treason summit as, oddly enough, and this is a quote, nothing short of treason. Gave a press briefing yesterday. Said he agreed with former CIA Director John Brennan that Trump's behavior was treasonous. I would use traitorous, but I'm funny that way. And he said, once we take control of the House, impeachment is on the table. Until then, impeachment is what he described as a distraction because, frankly, well, it's not like the bought and paid for members of the GOP who are running Bedlam there in the House of Representatives and are probably compromised, each and every one of them, to one degree or another. It's not like they're going to do anything that would, well, never mind exposing Julius Geezer, expose themselves. But he did note there will be time for that if the Democrats can take control of the House come November. And that opens, you know, that opens a different can of worms. We talked about it a little bit, I think, Monday night. Would Donald Trump, on the verge of being impeached, would Donald Trump have the same dignity, if you want to use that term, that Richard Nixon did, and get the hell out of Dodge? Or would he brazen it out? My money's on brazen it out. Especially if he has Brett Kavanaugh on the court by then. But speaking of the NRA, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General Harry Littman, speaking to Katie Turr today on MSNBC, said, "This is a wild, wild story with the potential to send shockwaves not just into Trump campaign officials, but throughout the Republican Party. And anyone who was in Paul Erickson's Rolodex, including Dana Rohrabacher and Wayne LaPierre and Scott Walker, is right now shaking in his boots waiting for Mueller to come knocking." If you look at the indictment, he continued, or rather Matt Miller continued, a former spokesperson for the DOJ. If you look at the indictment, if you look at what the activities it lays out, they are accusing her of not trying to influence the election, but trying to cultivate influence in the United States, of trying to infiltrate the NRA, trying to infiltrate the Republican Party on behalf of the Russian intelligence services. I think we can eliminate the word trying from some of this, because she was certainly successful with regard to the NRA and, hey, the National Prayer Breakfast. Another document talked about her trying to get close to CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. Yeah, but of course, nothing there. But there are some rumblings. There's some hope. There's some reasons for a little bit of hope. I mean, when a maggot from Texas says it's time to impeach Donald Trump, well, maybe there's something to it. A Republican from Dallas, a member of the state legislature in Texas, Jason Villalba, said, "We are better than what this president suggests we are. We eschew ugliness and divisiveness. Donald J. Trump is no longer our leader. It is time to push him into the ash bin of history. Today, I ask you to impeach Trump." Wow. On the other hand, there are places in America where maggotism remains strong. With the endorsement of Geezer Disgustus, Martha Roby, who had said she was disgusted by the Access Hollywood tape, was, well, she won her runoff last night down in the Montgomery, Alabama area, which means basically that she will be reelected in November unless there is a massive mobilization in that particular district. One wonders how Martha Roby will feel about the Maria Butina indictment, being as how she's got some sensibilities about, oh, I don't know, skeevy and sketchy sexual misconduct. Among other things, now we know that Maria Butina, while she was in the United States, ostensibly being graduate student at American University, that she was shacked up with a 56-year-old man who is not identified in the indictment. It was part of her cover. Butina, age 29, and U.S. person 1, age 56, are believed to have cohabited and been involved in a personal relationship during the course of Butina's activities in the United States. This from the filing. But this relationship does not represent a strong tie to the United States because Butina appears to treat it as simply a necessary aspect of her activities. That's in regard to whether or not to send her ass to jail and let her cool her Muscovite heels while she awaits trial, instead of being able to scamper back to Moscow. Also in the filing, in the hearing today, the FBI noted that on at least one occasion, Butina offered an individual other than U.S. person one sex in exchange for a position within a special interest organization. Gosh, what special interest organization could that possibly have been? Oh, ick. Who did she offer to fuck at the NRA? Coleon Noir? Greg Stinkfield? Ollie North? Ted Pantslode Nugent? Dana Lush? We don't know whether her offer was accepted. So, here's one more element, since it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Here's one more element of the weirdness. From time to time on this program, we've talked about Rick Wiles. Rick Wiles is one of these people who constantly preaches the apocalypse that's just around the corner. And now, with Donald Trump having behaved in genuinely traitorous fashion on live video for the entire world to see, despite the protestations, I'm sorry, not protestations, the interpretations of noted interpreter Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. Despite all that, yeah, we know what he said. And we know what he meant. And we know what he meant because he keeps trying to weasel and waffle his way out of what he said because he knows he's in trouble with Daddy Vladdy now. Well, Rick Wiles speaks to the maggots. Rick Wiles speaks to the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian maggots. and he knows how to keep them from focusing on the evil business that Donald Trump did. And that is by spewing paranoid fantasy. Get the hockey puck. No, really. Now, nobody that I'm aware of on the so-called left, ha, what left? I believe everybody should be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. Goddamn commie! Nobody on our side is out there talking about people doing any harm to Donald Trump. I actively argue against it. I say that the man needs to be removed from office, and he needs to be removed from office peacefully, legally, and constitutionally. I do argue that it is ridiculous to think that a sitting president cannot be indicted, because no person is above the law in this country. And justice delayed is justice denied. So thinking that the president could murder somebody in cold blood and then, well, you know, we'll prosecute him when he gets out. We'll indict him then. No, that's bullshit. But noted bucket pudding salesman Jim Baker is constantly braying about violence being done to the president. But Rick Wiles, well, Rick Wiles just upped the ante. Did I give you enough time for the hockey pucks and the duct tape? Are we ready for this?
And we showed you CIA agent, homosexual Anderson Cooper on CNN. Well, over on the other communist news channel, MSNBC, they have another homosexual, Rachel Maddow. You see, America, you've been homosexualized. You've been Judaized.
What? I've been homosexualized? We've been homosexualized? How can we tell? I mean, the queer eye for the straight guys, straight guy guys, have not been here. Believe you me, this studio would look a hell of a lot better, and we'd be doing video by now if they had. And Judaized? Does that mean what I think it means? I'll rely on the members of the tribe, or tribes, if they would care to chime in on that. You've been Judaized. Because I don't think he means Judy Garland. You know, friend of Dorothy kind of stuff. So we're working some homophobia and some anti-Semitism. Maybe we'll get some clarity.
You see, they have another homosexual, Rachel Maddow. You see, America, you've been homosexualized. You've been Judaized. I'm going to just tell you the way it is, okay? Your minds have been captured. You're no longer a Christian nation. Even the Christians don't think like Christians anymore.
That's right.
You've been Judaized. You've been homosexualized. You've been Babylonianized. Your minds have been tainted. You don't.
Now, hold on a damn minute. I'm pretty damn sure I have not been Babylonianized. I don't know how. I can't hang a potted fucking fern, let alone build hanging gardens, okay? I am dead, and I haven't, for all the threats of doing it, I have not ripped off my clothes and gone wandering out and run among the wild beasts like Nebuchadnezzar did. But I'm pretty sure that he just went full Nazi there, Rick Wiles. You've been Judaized. And turned into a bunch of damn Jews. Jews. Rah, rah, rah. How long did you expect it would be before there was finally a clear nexus between these evangelical monsters and straight-up Nazism? You've been Judaized. No, I don't think... No. Before I can even get the note from Michael in Madison, I don't think he's referencing Sweet Judy Blue Eyes either. No, I think this is straight-up anti-Semitic Nazism. You know, in the guise of Christianity. In the original German, you know, Gott mit uns.
I don't even think like a Christian anymore. And so, Rachel Maddow, she was spewing out last night calls for revolution.
That's exactly right.
Calls to remove the President of the United States.
That's not revolution. That's impeachment. Or 25th Amendment, or perhaps indictment. We've discussed all of these things at length. But the one thing it's not is revolution. Granted, we're 4 days past the 14th of July, but nobody's out there hooting for Bastille Day. Nobody's talking about storming the gates of the White House. We remain, really, in the grand scheme of things, quite well behaved. Just standing and chanting there in Lafayette Park, traitor, 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 traitor. You know, because he is.
She was telling the left, take a deep breath. We're at that moment. It's coming. We're at that moment. We're almost there. We're going to remove him from the White House.
Which is not the same thing as saying revolution. But then again, Rachel Maddow, Anderson Cooper, has quite the thin gray settling sloshing around between that Rick Wiles has sloshing around between his ears and pass at a very very distant perspective for brains.
Friends, I think we're about 72 hours, possibly. 72 hours from a coup.
That's right. And in the bars of Dallas, anti-Castro pigeons were heard drinking in bars, saying, coup, coup. God bless you, wherever you aren't. Prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon you. Yeah. An impeachment is not a coup. A coup is an extra-legal, extrajudicial proceeding. You know, like kidnapping toddlers at the southern border of the U.S. and putting them in concentration camps and violating their basic human rights and committing crimes against humanity. That's extra-legal and extrajudicial. Asking a judge, an immigration judge, to explain the meaning of entering the United States illegally to a one-year-old who's climbing around on the table and maybe hoping for a diaper change to the extent that a one-year-old can engage in something like hope. Well, that's a sham, and that's a mock, and that's a show trial. And it's a coup. And hey, while we're at it, a presidential election that resulted in an outcome that was the result of an anachronistic, racist mechanism called the Electoral College that was brought about by Russian interference in the election process, that is a coup. And maybe, that's the larger point. There was a coup, all right. And it has long since taken place, as much as 2 years ago. It took place in locations like, hotel rooms during the Republican National Convention about this time in Cleveland in 2016. Possibly. And you know, for all that the framers of the Constitution acknowledged, because they did, they used in talking about impeachment, they acknowledged the possibility that a president of the United States could commit treason. They listed treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Those are the grounds listed for impeachment. So it dawned on the framers that a president might someday become a treasonous POS. And yet, there's no defined mechanism for what you do when a president does that. Yeah, you can impeach him. But I'll argue that the framers of the Constitution understood that treason in itself, being the only crime that they bothered to define in the Constitution, would merit what? An immediate indictment of the chief executive. Rendering people like Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court nominee, as full of shit as a Christmas goose when he argues that you can't indict the president. If Brett Kavanaugh gets on the Supreme Court, and if Trump should happen to be indicted, and if he joins a majority quashing that indictment, then this much is true. The coup will be complete. Darlene in Connecticut with a note. LOL, Butina. I'd like to know who the 56-year-old was that she cohabited with. She was having a relationship with that individual. Didn't appear as though the age was given of the person she made the offer of sexy time to. Dang, that would have helped us eliminate possibilities. There's reasons, I would think. The age was given in one case, not the other. You mean like an offer of sex to a 70-year-old American person? You mean like that, Darlene? Just trying to clarify things here, because that kind of ran through my little noggin. Regarding Judaized, yes, Jason. Jason says, that's it. Yep, Judy Garland. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott in San Diego, in regard to Judaized, it'll be a cold day in hell for you, me, or anyone on our side to be more fixated on the so-called chosen people than John Starve Hagee is. P.S. The Fuhrer is alive and well and living inside of Hagee. Well, when you consider John Hagee, you could probably hold three of him. Lee in New York, who might have some expertise on the topic. Subject line, becoming a Jew. To go from non-Jew to Jew, you have to choose it, request it, repeat the request, learn about the religion, and be accepted. It does not happen without your consent. That is, unlike the Mormons, who take dead people into religion, like was desired for Anne Frank. You know, that would be your dead baptizing. Oh, we just meant it as an honor. Yeah, take away a dead person's entire... Right, it's an honor. Note coming from David in South Carolina, Stan. What if this Russian lady was a double agent? They sure were watching her closely the entire time, even had a USA journalist accompany her on Russian gun ranges. Or a Russian gun range, who knows? Sure would like to know who that other person was whose age wasn't given. I think Darlene's on to something. A cowbell for that, Darlene. As to a Christian nation, Bill in Allentown says, if I remember my history, we were never a Christian nation. We should be storming the White House with real pitchforks and torches, demanding impeachment. But as Steny Hoyer pointed out, Bill, we can demand in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up first with this traitorous lot. Mm-hmm. Is there a picture of Maria Butina with Paul Ryan? Mitch McConnell? Mitch McConnell made it clear he had no interest in stopping Russian interference in our electoral process. Yeah. So, let's get back, because we've not heard the worst of it. That's the whole thing. This is a relatively short clip from Rick Wiles. But we have not heard the worst of it. Not by a long shot. So far, we know that we've been Judaized. And that we've been homosexualized. Whatever that may mean. Can I get some help from the Horn Family Community Congregation Gay Auxiliary on how I can know if I'm being homosexualized? I mean, I don't want to be like these people. I think Brother Wiles here has something subtle in mind, and because. Jason with another comment. Oh, man. Maria and Mitch. Okay, not hot. Had him going for a minute there with that whole possibility of Dana Lush, but I think I just spoiled the moment, ruined the mood there by mentioning Addison McConnell. Oh, Addison is such a sexy name. Yeah. But it's going to get worse with Rick Wiles, and it ain't going to get better. Do not spit out the hockey puck.
Look, be prepared that you're going to turn on television and see helicopters hovering over the roof of the White House.
Now, remember, this is happening in the next 72 hours, kind of like Alex Jones predicted the Second Civil War. And that's the next 72 hours. And that was several hours ago that he made this prediction. So we could be down into the 60 hours mark.
With men clad in black rappelling down ropes, entering into the White House. Be prepared for a shootout in the White House as Secret Service agents shoot commandos coming in to arrest President Trump. That's how close we are to revolution.
Wait. I mean, all due respect, I guess, to the idea of Wolverines! Where are they going to get the black helicopters and the men in black and having the shootout at the OK Corral there in the hallways of the West Wing? I mean, is that secret Obama army that they got all ginned up over with the were they gathered together and they just been biding their time since Jade Helm? sitting there studying the plan that was going to take away golf in America. Or maybe they've been sitting around sharpening up their common core. I'm just trying to figure out where these black helicopters are going to come from, except for, you know, maybe the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears and pass for brains of Rick Wiles. Oh, thank you, Matt. Matt in San Francisco, with a little help, the subject line, homosexualized. You can tell if you are smartly dressed and all the furniture in your house matches, in addition, accessorized to perfection. Thank you, Matt. Are there wall sconces involved? How about the window treatments? I mean, is there a difference between partially homosexualized and fully homosexualized? Does it have anything to do with paying outrageous amounts of money for avocado toast or anything like that? Or is that a millennial thing? This is just so damn difficult. Yeah, I agree. Silent R. Lamar says, this fella's a few sprinkles short on his donut. I couldn't agree more. But that's you and me and we of the Horn Family Community Congregation, and we've got functioning brain cells. Don't listen to this clip as yourself. Put yourself in the strange and well-worn shoes of Emery and Marveline, sitting there in the Barca loungers, waiting on the return of Jeebus. Alexander says, "See, Brother Kincaid, this is the kind of thing that makes me sick about all too many white folks. That will find a way or reason to work anything or any black into the demonic speech and activities. 365, 24/7. Pure cowardice, as white males go. I mean, he said they were clad in black. He didn't say they were black guys, but I wouldn't be. They probably are. You know, those kids that were seen wearing fatigues and singing songs about Obama that got all the white folks all terrorized back during the first Obama administration. Hell, they're grown men by now. There's probably an army. Soros. Damn it. That's where the helicopters are coming from. Son of a bitch. How about that?
Be prepared for a shootout in the White House. As Secret Service agents shoot commandos coming in to arrest President Trump. That's how close we are to revolution.
Note coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. I gotta say, props to Rick Wiles for working the dog whistle so subtly into his little rant. Gotta give credit where credit's due. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, for that kind of wordplay, yeah, you get a cowbell, Brother Deacon Asa. Can't give away prizes or anything here, but cowbells have meaning. And yet, we still haven't gotten to the really, really creepy part.
Into the White House. Be prepared for a shootout in the White House. As Secret Service agents shoot commandos coming in to arrest President Trump. That's how close we are to revolution. Be prepared for a mob, a leftist mob, to tear down the gates, the fence of the White House, and go into the White House and drag him out with his family and decapitate them on the lawn of the White House.
No, you just heard what you thought you heard. This Christian is predicting No kidding. The decapitation of Donald Trump and his family. That's sick. That is disgusting. That is un-American. And it's not anything we're arguing in favor of. God Almighty. And Emery and Marveline and the Barca Loungers are sitting there going, that's probably what'll happen. And that Kenyan Muslim usurper Obama will be right there at the head of him. He'll be the one carrying the knife. Because, you know, he's a Muslim usurper. That's right, Emery. Well, okay, then. Everything all becomes ever so much clearer. Matt in San Francisco pointing out, Barca Loungers, those, by God, will protect you from being homosexualized like garlic with vampires. I knew we had a problem with the decor in our home. Whatever will Agnes say? And by the way, further note, coming from Kitty in Boston, Bob, if you don't exfoliate daily, you have not been homosexualized. Daily? What if you just exfoliate a little bit now and then, Kitty? What if you count on your shaving routine to take care of your exfoliation for you? Or does it have to be deliberate exfoliation? I mean, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on anybody's asparagus or anything, but I'm here to tell you, old Rick Wiles looks pretty damned well exfoliated. All the way up to the hairline of his pointy little head. I mean, I don't see any contusions or abrasions or blemishes or deformities. No. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, he's crazy. We leftists can't even decide on a single reason for a protest. And that's the truth. I've seen that in action. Try to organize a protest about mountaintop removal, and along comes the legalized cannabis guy. Not that there's anything wrong with legalizing cannabis, but, you know, focus! That's the absolute truth, Matt. Lee in New York, White House invasion. The fact that it is a problem with this, plan. The White House and D.C. area is a no-fly zone, except for the rare approved event like planes at a military parade. You better expect powerful opposition to hovering your chopper by Pennsylvania Avenue. You must, among other things, have a working Romulan cloaking device, mandatory, obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Damn it, a cloaking device. Obama. He time traveled on us. Son of a gun. But that's true about the no-fly zone and everything. Maybe we've got stealth black helicopters. Or maybe, this is as close as I can get. Maybe Donald Trump's hair gets pulled up in the wash of the rotor. But no. Jason, meanwhile, says, conserve a cult completely detached from reality. I'm putting my bet on the Soros commandos. Alexander says, I'm stressing the racial color issue because the ones wielding the power to do the most dirt and destruction to humanity domestically and globally are white males. So again, what does the black, however the term is being used, have anything to do with their evil ways? Well, I mean, Maybe Jesse Lee Peterson and Coleon Noir will be standing there in the hallway of the West Wing, desperately holding off the... Oh, never mind. I know. But this is who they are. They're getting off thinking about this stuff. Turns them on. And it also helps to... And remember, one of their patron organizations, the NRA, is in deep shit right now. And this helps to weaponize... I mean, I joke about Emery and Marvoline, but this helps to weaponize an increasingly radicalized plurality in this nation. 30-35% or so. What if people like Rick Wiles manage to convince the maggots that they need to act proactively? If they're to prevent something like this. Because you and I hear this and we go, whoop, nuts, crazy. Off his meds, Thorazine dart time. But we have to be careful that we do not make the assumption that the other side hears it the same way. They do not. Well, that's true, too. Darlene in Connecticut says, you forget that Butina would be taking her life into her own hands if she propositioned Addison McConnell. Wife Elaine Chao is something fierce and certifiable. You leave my husband alone! Yes, I trust we've all seen the video by now. Under the subject line, Horn Family Brain Safety... Silent R. Lamar says, yes, we have brain cells, Bob, but every time you play people like Pastor Wiles to us, we lose brain cells and it becomes hard to focus. Well, that's what the hockey puck warning is for. Not saying, just saying. Exfoliation, asks James. Rent boy, Bob! Are you kidding me? Do you know how far behind we are in fundraising and you raise the issue of Rent Boy, James? I can't rent a rock. And this would be a good time. A good time to send out thanks because, hey, yay, hallelujah, glory. We have a brand new subscriber. Everybody, welcome, Stephen, to the subscriber list for the 18th day of the month. Welcome, Stephen, and thank you. Your 18th day of the month, the colleagues and friends are tickled to be in your company, and we're all happy to have your support. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you very much indeed. And so, with that being the case, what is it, 535 now? 535 bucks fundraising? Yeah, something. $535 midweek. We catch up even. That would be a prayer meeting Wednesday. Horn Family Community Congregation, self-made miracle. Man, I think about all the money. No, I don't think about all the money, but I think about the money that the right wing throws around to the people like Rick Wiles. And we struggle. We struggle to keep a progressive conversation alive. Well. So, you know, maybe we can take a bite out of it. It sure would be great if we did. And thanks if we did. Lee with a note. Why Trump will not walk away. If Trump were impeached, he won't leave. It's simple to understand why your conclusion is accurate. If Trump has criminal charges waiting for a former president, he will wait. If Republican voters stick with Trump, Republican senators will stick with Trump. If Democrats win every Senate election in 2018, 9 senators will be needed to vote for conviction. Reality tells me that more than 9 will be needed. Expect Trump to rally the troops. A, he loves the fans. B, he will discredit the case. Life in the White House is better than life in prison. David in South Carolina, Stan, subject line stupidity, says, I wonder why all those guys do not know that anything certain USA people do in Russia will be recorded. It's been this way for years. Then say you're a 50-something-year-old man back in the USA and an attractive 20-something young lady with Russian accent offers you sex and money. You go for it. They're good at playing off those egos. However, this is a well-known ploy. Just some stone-cold stupidity? You gotta wonder. I mean, I think about the couple of episodes or the trip that took a couple of days in which Stephen Colbert went to Mother Russia and went to the very room where we think the pee-pee tape was made. And he said he's never been so happy to get out of a place in his life. And he had the common good sense not to have sexy time with any fabulous Russian hookers. Or little Russian little girls with blonde hair, blue eyes, who looked like somebody. Well, I'm not saying Stephen Colbert would. You get the idea. That and when Jeff Merkley said, something like the pee-pee tape. That's what I immediately thought of. Yeah, something like the pee-pee tape. A recording of Donald Trump having sex with underage females. And maybe even being heard on that recording saying what we now know he said to Stormy Daniels and at least one other woman, "You were great. You remind me of Ivanka." Meanwhile, Mike in Cascadia just apprised me of a tweet thread that bears mention and is creepy as hell. Let's see if I can get it to load here. Brandon Friedman, who is verified on Twitter, says, Michael Schuer, or Scheuer, S-C-H-E-U-E-R, the former senior CIA official and New York Times bestselling author of Imperial Hubris, is calling for Trump supporters to kill Trump opponents. Published July 14th, a Republican citizenry's greatest last resort duty is to kill those seeking to impose tyranny. As this week's end, it seems likely that it is quite near time for killing those involved in the multiple and clearly delineated attempts to stage a coup d'etat against the legitimately elected Trump government and thereby kill our republic. Brandon Friedman follows up saying, just some totally normal, everyday suggestions for slaughtering your countrymen. Will Michael Schur get a visit from the Secret Service? Hell, will Rick Wiles get a visit from the Secret Service? Now, if Rick Wiles got a visit from the Secret Service, he would waste no time in leaping right up the cross, no doubt about it, being persecuted for simply warning America about the grave dangers to our prison net. And courtesy of Clarity, our new subscriber, Steven, gets a shout-out. Yo, Steven! Thank you, Clarity. And a smiley emoji. Lee says, maggots protecting Trump. I'd love to see a YouTube video of a group with MAGA hats and powerful NRA-endorsed freedom protectors arguing with Secret Service how they have to get to the roof of the White House to keep Trump safe. See, here's the thing, Lee. Maybe I'm wrong, okay? I freely acknowledge I could possibly be wrong. I get stuff wrong. I try not to, but I do. But we have no idea how thoroughly compromised this country is, or members of its institutions. We have no idea. Whether it's the question you just posed, Lee, or whether it's a woman in Illinois begging a cop to intervene and get an apparently intoxicated, angry old maggot off of her and away from her because she was being put in fear by him. We have no idea. If it's a murdered cop in Dallas who was tatted up with right-wing hate group symbology, we have no idea. We get hints. We know the Oath Keepers are out there. We know the so-called three percenters are out there. We know that there has been infiltration of the military. We know, for instance, that in the last academic year alone on America's college campuses, there have been nearly 300 incidents of white supremacist propaganda. We know that that's a 77% jump from the prior year. The Anti-Defamation League Center for Extremism told the New York Times they're trying to engage with what they hope are future members of their organizations. They put a premium on winning hearts and minds. And here we have Rick Wiles, follower of the Prince of Peace, declaring that the entire country, Christians included, have been homosexualized and Judaized. We have right-wingers babbling about world banking cabals, and that's nothing but a dog whistle to the old-line anti-Semitism of the paranoid fantasy that Jews run the global banking system. You got the cranky old father of a sitting U.S. senator in Ron Paul tweeting classic anti-Semitic images of hook-nosed Jews as enemies of freedom who are changing America for the worst. On college campuses, well, from Berkeley to universities in the state of Florida, the white supremacists are out and recruiting. Chat logs that Unicorn Riot got hold of show Patriot Front talking about an ideal society filled with ethno-state rape gangs and how their members engage in violence training. And then there was a little something that happened in the general L.A. area the other night. It involved a group that we've talked about in the past called the Proud Boys. They wear matching or coordinating polo shirts and have stupid haircuts. Among their members are probably some incels. And they got into a brawl at an L.A. bar Saturday night called the Griffin. Because people opposed to Nazis tried to run them out of the bar. And the people at the Griffin tried to look the other way. But the Proud Boys have regional chapters in the Bay Area, Orange County, California as well. Their initiation rite includes brawling with anti-fascists, at least according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. They were a big part of the melee on the Berkeley campus in April of 2017. You'll know them. They wear yellow and black Fred Perry polo shirts, and they wear their MAGA hats. One decent human being went to the bartender and said, "Look, you got a bunch of racists here in this bar," and pointed to the Proud Boys. The bartender reportedly replied, "Only color I see is green." Long about that time, the Proud Boys, who dispute the term Nazi, but behave like Nazis, well, they began to surround a table of people celebrating a birthday. There were people of color in the group who were celebrating a birthday. And that's when the shit hit the fan. One guy, a woman stepped in front of one of the members of the Proud Boys, put her hand on his chest to stop him from going any further. She weighs about 110 pounds. She's about 5'4". And the big old burly Nazi shoved her to the ground. President of the L.A. Proud Boys said she thought it was a good idea to shove a guy, and it turns out when you do that, they'll shove you back. But here's the thing, she wasn't hurt. She received a reasonable and appropriate response to putting hands on someone. The cops knew. They knew and said it was fine. The LA Times interviewed the Proud Boys, but the Proud Boys wouldn't give their names because they're being afraid of being attacked on social media, snowflakes, or being fired from their jobs for being Nazis, or getting called out for wearing their stupid MAGA hats. They got 160 members. They got 300 pending applicants. So it's kind of one of those times when you best pay attention. Darlene in Connecticut says, I'm telling you, did you see Trump's expression when he walked out of the private meeting with Putin? He looked like he'd been told something he definitely did not want to hear. I totally see Putin coming right out and telling Trump exactly what he has on him. Trump looked shell-shocked with a bit of, oh shit, I have to game face this mixed in. I think they just watched TV, Darlene. They watched a certain video recording with high-definition sound. And maybe a little girl. Blonde hair, blue eyes. You look great. You remind me of Ivanka. Who, remember, when she was about the same age, Donald Trump said, you know, if she wasn't his daughter, he'd probably date her. Yeah. That's a good observation. David in South Carolina, Stan says, you know, we have entire generations who do not know about rat-fucking tactics. Lambs. American fascists, unlike the Proud Boys, they're headquartered in Texas. They talk openly of violent ethnic cleansing. Then there's Identity Evropa. They've tried to shove neo-Nazi ideology on college campuses. The Anti-Defamation League says they're responsible for about 50% of the flyering incidents that have taken place on college campuses. And Brother Deacon Asa points out, yeah, we have our own chapter of Proud Boys up this way, too. They misinterpreted the meaning of Great White North. Meanwhile, if you call them what they are, the fascists that they are, they cry and get all snowflakey. Identity Evropa pissed and moaned to the Washington Post. They said, the Anti-Defamation League is clearly reporting an error or negligence, as the blanket allegations reflect neither Identity Evropa or any statement from a current representative. The ADL and organizations like it are attempting to stifle free debate and will continue to lose trust with the thinking public. Yeah, because, you know, that's what we need. Free debate on whether or not Nazis are okay to have in your country. You know, once upon a time, we had a general consensus that Nazis were not okay. Reckon those days are gone. So let's take a break. See if maybe we can take a bite out of that $535. And see if anybody wants to engage in some conversation. Like I said, I'm more right down to the bone. But I'm game if I'm game if you are. So, what do you think? 304-574-8178. Or, toll free, works some of the time. 844-843-4676. That's 844 the horn. Then there's just Skype to Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn. They all bring you into the same line. Just remember, helicopters, right? Helicopters. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's the MIBs. Here come the MIBs.
Thoroughly homosexualized.
Dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't blink, be what was dead is now gone. Black suit with the black Ray Bans on. Walk a shadow, move in silence, guard against extraterrestrial violence. But yo, we ain't on no government list. We straight, don't exist, no names and no fingerprints. Saw something strange, watch your back, cause you never quite know where the MIBs is at. From the deepest of the darkest of night on the horizon, bright light into sight tight, camera zoom on the impending doom. But then like boom, black suits fill the room up with the quickness, talk with the witnesses, hypnotize up, normalize up, vivid memories turn to fantasies. Ain't no MIBs, can I please do what we say, that's the way we kick it, you know what I mean? But see the noisy cricket get wicked on you. We're your first, last, and only line of defense against the worst scum of the universe. So don't fear us, cheer us, if you ever get near us, don't jeer us. We're the fearless MIBs, freezing up all the flag. Yes, therefore, men in black, and... Let me see you just bounce it with me, just bounce with me, just bounce it with me. Come on, let me see you just slide with me, just slide with me, just slide with me. Come on, let me see you take a walk with me, just walk it with me, take a walk with me. Come on, and make your neck work. Now freeze. In closing, I know we might seem imposing, but trust me, if we ever show in your section, believe me, it's for your own protection, cause we see things that you need not see, and we be places that you need not be, so go with your life, forget the Roswell crap, show love to the black suit, cause that's the men in, that's the men in.
Sorry.
Dance off on the White House roof as the black helicopters hover over, and oh Jesus, I couldn't resist. Maybe that's what it is. Anybody in the Horn ad hoc research department want to check listings and see if the first Men in Black or the second or the third. Because, you know, that Will Smith was in all of them. Anybody want to see if those things played on any cable channels over the last few days? Maybe Rick Wiles thought he was tuning in Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or maybe InfoWars and accidentally got Men in Black. I'm sorry, it's the best of God. Trying here, but... I'm guessing Rick Wiles does not have a chance in the White House rooftop dance-off. No. And God knows not in a rap battle either. Since we kind of went in that direction over the last couple of hours, one more story to sort of wrap, put a bow on it all. Is there a more inept corporate executive? I mean, okay, maybe Elon Musk. Than Mark Zuckerberg? Because old Zuck is busting a hump trying to take first place. I mean, damn. He was interviewed by Recode. An editor at large there by the name of Kara Swisher. And in that interview, Mark Zuckerberg, wow, he tried to make clear and failed miserably. What he thinks the role of Facebook is. Because Facebook, remember, is desperate to not be seen as a content creator, but rather just some sort of innocent clearinghouse it's just a pipeline. You know, you build a pipeline, pipelines can have water going through it, or a pipeline can have oil going through it, or gas, or pipeline can have, you know, Russian misinformation flowing through it. And despite a public relations campaign that seems, at least from my viewing, to be everywhere I look in terms of TV ads, you know, it's cute and warm and fuzzy and talks about how we made this thing, and this thing connected to our friends who did the same things we do, and then it just, well, things went a little funny, Dimitri. You know, funny. Scott in San Diego, if he actually did watch or rewatch Dr. Strangelove last night, will get that line. Well, you know, Dimitri, funny. Well, Mark Zuckerberg, of all the things he could have offered up by way of an example in this interview, holy shit, don't go there. In his interview, he told Kara Swisher, and this is a quote, "I'm Jewish, and there's a set of people who deny that the Holocaust happened. I find that deeply offensive." I will stop for a moment here and editorialize. It's not so much that it's offensive, although it is. It's the fact that it is ahistorical, that it is incorrect, that any time that you see someone denying the Holocaust, you see someone who has been subjected to and has probably taken into, internalized, Nazi or Nazi-ish and anti-Semitic propaganda. So offensive is probably the least of the problems. He says, but at the end of the day, I don't believing, good for you, Mark, you're believing. I don't believe that our platform should take that down, meaning Holocaust denial posts, because I think there are things that different people get wrong. Well, hell, we all get things wrong, don't we? We get that. I mean, I honestly can't tell you the difference between Star Parker and Star Jones. I think we ran across that little problem in the program yesterday. But he says, I don't think that they're intentionally getting it wrong.
Mark. They don't think they're wrong. They believe the Holocaust did not exist. They wholeheartedly endorse the proto-neo-Nazi notion that 6 million Jews were not murdered. Intentionally getting it wrong. It's hard to impugn intent, Zuckerberg says, and understand the intent. Then Zuckerberg went where I went. I get things wrong when I speak publicly. I'm sure you do, he said to Kara Swisher. I'm sure a lot of leaders and public figures we respect do too. I just don't think that it's the right thing to say we're going to take someone off the platform if they get things wrong even multiple times. What? This came in the larger context of the decision by InfoWars. Holy crap. Or the decision by Facebook to allow InfoWars, holy crap, to stay on Facebook. Never mind the fact that InfoWars deliberately peddles any number and manner of abject falsehoods. I mean, hell, the Onion's on Facebook too, isn't it? I mean, if you're a publication and you want anybody to read any of your shit, you have to be on Facebook in 2018. You're dead otherwise. The thing is, the Onion makes clear that it is parody, that it is satire, that it is comedy. No matter how closely to the line it hews, you never doubt that the Onion, well, okay, some Republicans, but normal people with functioning brains know that the Onion is a gag. They know that College Humor, by virtue of being called College Humor, is a gag. Funny or Die is a gag. InfoWars is a marketing operation that uses bizarre, sensational, and wholly untrue stories in order to help hustle their nutritional supplements and their paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage. Zuckerberg even noted that, yeah, they deal in conspiracy theories and things that are abjectly false. And I guess this would be sort of less important if Facebook were not the single most busy, most traffic-generating phenomenon on the internet. And then, incidentally, maybe it wouldn't be so important if it weren't for the fact that Facebook, and to a certain extent Twitter, but mostly Facebook, were ground zero for the assault on our electoral process in 2016 and continued to, yes. And none of this has anything to do with the First Amendment for Mark Zuckerberg. It has nothing to do with press freedom because he claims he's not the press, unless it becomes convenient to do so. It's all a matter of trying to protect shareholder earnings. And perhaps that's the worst part of it, because its focus on corporate earnings makes it, well, smell a little fascisty. But Jesus, you hope the neo-Nazis don't read the Recode article, but they will. And they'll know that they've got an open door policy from Facebook on Holocaust denial. Alexander says, exactly, protect that money to the detriment of everything and everyone else. And is the question is, is social media, our social media, a Pandora's bottle that cannot be restoppered? Pandora's jar. Is there any, when you've got a manifestation from somebody like Mark Zuckerberg that they intend to do nothing about things like Holocaust denial or the rampant dissemination of entirely false information by outfits like InfoWars, does it not become clear that they are that they are part of the problem? Under the subject line, sometimes, all the time, Zuck is the bartender. The bartender is Zuck. I get your meaning, James. So don't look for any help from Facebook culling out the wheat from the chaff as we move toward November 2018. It appears brutally honest or brutally evident that Facebook will aid and abet whatever skullduggery the right wants to engage in going forward. Or, you know, Russia. And the only thing we can do is try to be alert to it. And that makes it all the harder for ordinary, if I dare use the term, consumers of information. Because it's not necessarily easy. Generally speaking, if I see Associated Press, AFP, Reuters, I feel pretty good about what I'm about the veracity of what I'm reading. This is not to say there can't be spin. This is not to say that we are not obliged to check and make sure that we're not reading opinion instead of news, because there's a huge difference between the two. But hell, sometimes you've got to go and you've got to physically look at the URL to make sure that it really is what it purports to be. And Mark Zuckerberg, at least as far as I read the interview, has made clear that he has no interest in helping anybody in doing any of that sort of work. I mean, of all the topics to choose, Holocaust denial. Jesus. Yeah, good luck, America. Good luck, good luck sorting it out. Oh, and again, just to go back and wrap up a couple of things. Again, we still don't know what the agreements were. The tangerine trader entered into with his boss. We have no idea, except to say that Russia came out and said, "Well, we're ready to go forward on the agreements we made," and we're sitting around left with our thumbs up our asses, going, "What agreements? Anybody want to play the recording?" Oh, the Russians haven't given us the recording yet. Oh, okay. Can we see the notes? No, he forbade note-taking. Didn't have anybody there to take notes. Only thing he could manage to write was "no collusion." And he misspelled that. But apparently Russia says that it wants to have a sit-down with Bob Mueller. And they especially want to talk to Michael McFaul, former ambassador to Russia. Noted stenographer for the New York Times, Maggie Haberman, asked Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, "Does President Trump support that idea? Is he open to having U.S. officials questioned by Russia?" The answer that came from Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags: "The president's going to meet with his team, and we'll let you know when we have an announcement on that." Holy shit. There's a question. Can the president compel a person no longer in the government service to sit down to a friendly interview by the Russian FSB? But it becomes fairly clear that the Russians really are worked up about the so-called crimes of Bill Browder. That's apparently got their hackles up. As for having the burglars come and investigate the scene of the break-in, well, you know, at the treason summit, Geezer Disgustus said what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people work on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people, you know, the people who were indicted by Mueller. I think that's an incredible offer. And that was another one of those moments when you just sort of sat there wide-eyed and wondering if you'd just forgotten about the quart of rot-gut tequila that you just guzzled. Putin wants Bill Browder. Bill Browder, of course, is an investor. And his lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, was arrested in Russia, detained in Moscow, held for almost a year without trial, and then just, you know, curiously got all dead, kind of violently. As is known to happen from time to time to people that Daddy Vladdy has decided he doesn't like. talking to another individual with a sketchy sense of loyalty to this country, namely the life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity job. Well, Marcus Aurelius said, I was fascinated by what Putin offered. His prosecutors would prosecute it, and he said that Robert Mueller's people could go with them. Jesus. I remember a few years back when we were ginning up a war with Afghanistan, when we said, and it was during the Reign of Error, of course, when we said to Afghanistan, turn over bin Laden, and the Taliban said, we'd rather not, but I tell you what, we'll prosecute the hell out of him, and you can watch. And we bombed the shit out of Afghanistan for that. Kind of still doing that. You know, you get married and have a big wedding party in Afghanistan at your peril. Because the Americans might just hellfire your ass. Right? It's fascinating. Yeah. All right, let's run down to Florida and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's your Marine Corps buddy, Mark.
Hey, Mark, long time no talk.
Well, I may not be talking, but I'm always listening, and I'm still looking for that one area of disagreement. But good God, I get tired of trying to find one. But
wait, Mark. I'm going to get a hateful email accusing you of being a sycophant. Yeah. So. You know, say you hate my guts or something once in a while, will you?
Well, not only that, a paid agent provocateur on the behalf of Head On Radio.
No, you're paid by George Soros, aren't you? That's where all the Horn Soros money's going.
Well, I mean, if he's going to pay Republicans, he might as well pay us Democrats. So, what's the guy that owns the expensive hotel in Las Vegas? He pays a lot of folks. The only one that's not union on the Strip.
Sheldon Adelson?
There's a good fellow right there. He has what Trump's hair is going to end up looking like here shortly. But I just wanted to say, Bob, is it Browder, the gentleman that you're talking about with the Magnitsky Act?
Yeah, Bill Browder.
James. Bill Browder, excuse me. He happened to be on CNN, and I was lucky enough to be in between projects or working night shift or whatever, but I was lucky enough to speak to him, and I told him that how very much proud I was of him as an American and how brave he is as an American. I did a lot of brave things in my life as a younger person and still stumble into some things that could be considered, but I'm coming to the close on that with my career kiboshes. But in any case, so I told him that he's very brave, and I was concerned a little bit about his safety without sounding paranoid. And he was very forthright, and he doesn't live in the United States. He did agree that was a legitimate concern, and I'm sure if they could, they would extradite him to Russia, and that would make Putin very very happy. I also want to mention, Bob, that the lady, that the girl that they arrested, the 29-year-old, not just because I was G.I. Joe and I had a little affiliation on embassy duty with folks that knew a lot more what was going on than I did, but I just listened and read a lot, and I knew that when I was in Argentina, I got followed one night in Buenos Aires. I don't know if I was what I was doing. I was walking. I did a lot of running, constantly in civilian clothes. You weren't even allowed to step outside of the embassy compound, which is only appropriate in many countries. Always in civilian clothes, whatever I was doing. But in any case, I was walking towards or away from the embassy and was followed for quite a distance by a very tall Caucasian guy. And I said, "Well, that's not a fucking American. That's a fucking Russian." And I did a lot of things. I mean, I stopped at lights. I was on the opposite side of a pretty wide street, and I'm pretty well convinced that that was the case, and he stayed with me quite a while. He kind of spooked me. I was in tremendous physical shape, and I ended up cutting through a two-story mall that was very well lit, and I cut across the street right into him. Like, I flanked him on the battlefield. I said, "All right, motherfucker, I'm coming right at you," and I intentionally did that, but in the process, I did not encounter him, not as if I was a crazy person going to physically charge him, but I kind of lost sight of him because of the flow of the traffic, but nonetheless, I cut through this building, and I thought, well, fuck it, if I'm not going to fight him, he's going to have to catch me now, so I never did see him again, and I think I made my way all the way back to the Marine House, which is about, I think it was about 7 miles away, but I wanted to mention that the girl, Maria Butina, or Butina, as you probably appropriately pronounced it, I think for sure that she didn't have a furniture store in where the Gulag Archipelago was. I think, in fact, she was not only a KGB person, KGB trained. She's a KGB trained officer. For any civilians listening, she's a trained and a good officer. So she rose above the crowd
based on the reporting, with apparent assassin skills.
Apparently, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe she's kind of like the Tom Cruise generation of spies. Now they look and act a lot like people on TV. So, well, hell, let's just go ahead and use them. So, yeah, they're kind of running out of people to kind of kill if they're not leaving real poison. So, yeah. So she's a legitimate shooter, a legitimate killer. You don't get. The 2015 questioning that she had for Caesar Disgustus, whatever. I love the nicknames, Tangerine, Tiberius, Caligula. But in any case, when she asked him that, of course, to me, that was pre-coordinated and pre-designated. And Trump's been working with this group of jackasses from back then. And actually, the Obama administration knew much of this and saw this coming on, which drives me to the point that I think, I don't know which one of the character or characters that have already, I don't know, been arrested, but there are, I think there must have been Americans that the FBI has either co-opted or put in place that were working for the United States the whole time.
I mean, the usage mark of American Person One and American Person Two indicates that they know who she's been hobnobbing around with, and there's no doubt to them.
Well, now you're not referring to Manafort's communication, are you, right there?
Well, no, I mean in the indictment, there's American One and American Two, like the person that she offered to have sex with. Whose age is curiously, as Darlene pointed out, not given, whereas American One, that she was shacked up with, is identified as being 56 years old.
Yeah, so many things are deliberate, and I'd like to know. I think that, what little I just glanced at it as I waited to practically speak to you on the phone. This Alexander Torshin or whatever. What's his name? But in any case, Torshin. I think he's what they would call the handler, or the political commissar, the oversight guy that was here domestically. He's 64, so that's not the guy she was, you know. But he now she's hooking. In addition to she's just a monkey on a string, you know. She's not some super sleuth. I'm not insinuating that you wouldn't know any different, but in other words. All of the, and even on the news, they're saying that she tried to arrange a meeting between Vladimir Putin and the NRA and Donald Trump. And I'm like, motherfuckers, if they wanted that shit to go down, they told them that, no, you're not going to have that meeting. In other words, all of her moves are coordinated by people that are above her.
Let me run one theory past you. I'm just trying to, trying to get a couple of squares out on the board in front of this a little bit. Do you think it's okay with Vladdy Daddy that she's been busted and stuck in the hoosegow?
No, I'm sure they have a little consternation about that.
Okay, that being the case, given that there's a tit for tat anytime you're dealing with this sort of gamesmanship, and I mean that's what it is. It's gamesmanship, Mark. You know that.
That's correct.
Would you expect to find out that maybe the FSB has taken a couple of folks into custody when it comes time for a swap? Because see, even a pardon doesn't help Maria Butina. Because a pardon, if she's pardoned and she can be kept in the United States, she still has to testify, because then she has no Fifth Amendment exposure. Do you remember a few years ago when the Russian sexy time spy lady was traded for some folks that we wanted?
Can you see
that unfolding a few squares out on the board?
Yeah. So if I'm to understand, maybe what we're considering is the fact that she, you're saying that it's not an arbitrary arrest, but it's just another body to throw in the bag for in case you need the extra bodies for exchanges to some degree. In other words,
I suspect the Russians will go and bag a couple. And say, you know, would be terrible trouble if something awful were to happen to these people. We like them. They're very nice people. But it would be awful if something happened. Perhaps we could send them over and you could send us Maria. Huh?
Fucking Boris. Yeah, Boris and Natasha. No, actually, of course, yeah. That's what's been going on. That's what's been going on for a long time. And, you know, and then I don't know if you had a woman, I think she was a very sharp lady. I don't know if it was on your show last night, Bob, or I don't think it's insignificant with the children and having sex, with Trump on a bed. I just wanted to get that out there as well, because I do think, and I'm not saying that the ballot box will be where his, future is decided, but I do think the fact that having sex with children will have a little more clout to it than just having sex with hookers. I think there can be, even in the crazy evangelical person's mind, I think there could be a breakthrough there. Maybe not, but I know there are some Trump devotees where that wouldn't faze them either. But I did just want to say that for whatever.
I mean, let me ask you. I mean, this isn't necessarily within your brief, and you don't necessarily have a brief, and I'm not talking about your expertise. But goddamn, if this thing's out there, do we not have anybody in our cyber warfare side of it all who can hack in and get the goddamn thing? I'm not saying I want to see anything. I don't. Yeah. But, you know, I want somebody responsible to see it and tell the world that it exists.
And who's, you know, just a quick observation, Bob, to your question, you know, who's to say that we don't already have that? Michael Steele, the British?
Christopher Steele.
Pardon, Christopher Steele?
Yeah, I believe so.
But nonetheless, I mean, you know, he didn't lay claim to that, but it had been reported. And he had a tremendous reputation amongst high level management within the FBI, apparently, and everything. It seems like, you know, what little I've read of the Steele dossier, I mean, none of it's really been disproven. So I don't think it's drama.
It's not that most of it hasn't been disproven. A great deal of it has been proven to be accurate. Just about everything short of the PP tape.
Right. So I'm wondering if I think we do have the capacity to do stuff like that, depending on how sloppy the Russians are. Which, you know, when you have, what do they have, 1,300 people in St. Petersburg in a hot room or whatever, you know, in a building. I mean, their human behavior, they don't, you know, we have sloppy Americans. They definitely got some sloppier Russians than Americans, you know, not sound ignorant. But so I think it's breachable. I think it's accessible. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's not already in some people's possession. So I want the same thing that you would want, that I think most people at this point would also be interested.
But you actually think the evangelical maggots, you actually think the evangelical maggots might get upset if they found, if that came out,
well,
or as Jeff Merkley described it, something like that.
If it was, I think if they, you know, not to be a weirdo, but even if the 13-year-olds looked even younger than 13-year-olds, I don't know, because I think as he thinks he's hit the jackpot, from what little I read, Bob, when I got hepatitis in Argentina and I was quarantined in the Marine house, and I fucking devoured everything I could on about anything from the SDS to the KGB. I was a voracious reader for a guy that hadn't gone to school. So I just read everything. And they, you know, it's no surprise to yourself, and you know that, but they have had cameras in tourist hotels in Moscow and Stalingrad, Leningrad, whatever the cities are, in all those hotels. They've had cameras and listening devices for forever, practically, filming whatever they needed to, just like your earlier comments, as if they didn't know stupid-ass Trump wasn't in Russia. They knew that son of a bitch was there. He was petitioning to see them, you know. I mean, and even when the little guy, Putin, he makes a comment, I have 500 businessmen. How can I keep track of maybe all of them? I can't keep track of all of them. Maybe half, but not all. What, you think we are, KGB? You know, so I'm like, yeah, motherfucker.
Wait a minute.
They know where everyone is.
Yeah, hang on.
Yep.
Yep, cowbell.
Right. Okay, sorry, Bob. Yeah.
No, but please continue.
Well,
I don't know. I'm getting an echo from you all of a sudden, but I'll hush. You talk.
Well, no, I could tell that was one of his lies, even through an interpreter, through a second or third person there. You could say, oh, he's bullshitting. He's, you know, of course they knew all of Trump's coordinations. They know where he was all the time. They invited him there half the time, and he invited himself through his stupid. Who's to say that the dumbass Miss Universe contest or whatever it was wasn't intentionally given to him to run for that very purpose as a ruse to get deeper into their fucking scam society. So, and then of course the Russian mafia has owned Trump Towers from practically the beginning. As they continue to go broke, they bailed out just like they've said on the news today. As these things come out publicly, as the Russians had to get money out of there because of their status, they had to get their hard cash out. So they invested into a crook who had to keep his dirty buildings occupied. And so they're actually should be called them mafia towers or whatever. Nonetheless, it's a Russian mafia. It's an oil mafia. But I really don't have anything to say. Just a few observations and comments and questions. And then I wanted to say you mentioned this religious guy. Rick Wiles. Yeah, Rick Wiles. That guy. That type of stuff is. It almost scares me. But I did want to say that his wherever his bullshit propaganda intuition came from about the 72-hour thing. He's kind of on the right path, and maybe this is what's triggered that, but just the opposite, that the, I guess, and you must be aware that the Secret Service is blocking subpoenas for Kushner from the DNC or something to that effect. I didn't know that. I just saw that with Rachel Maddow a couple nights ago. Does that ring a bell?
I think I saw something about it. I'd have to try to find it, but. How can they block it? By simply not allowing him to be served?
Well, correct. Yes, Bob, by refusing signatures, you know, as the shit comes to the gate, you know. And, of course, that's the uniform Secret Service. And ironically, since you were kind enough to just
consider that subject. I think they showed, before I left the house to go get our pizza tonight, they showed Trump and his illegal alien wife, the Russian spy Melania. I think they were dressed in dark clothes going to the dead Secret Service agent's memorial already.
Yeah, so that was, if a Secret Service agent had stroked out and died during a trip with Barack Obama, Sean Hannity's hair would have spontaneously combusted.
She fucking had him murdered, right, or something, yeah.
And we would have, it would have been a clear-cut case of murder, and what did he know? And Alex Jones would have already been going hog-ass wild. But, you know, it was Trump, Trump on the golf course with the mashy niblick, you know, so nothing, not a story.
Correct, yeah, they just take totally insignificant stuff, and their constituents believe whatever they say. The crazier the story is, the quicker they are to fall for it and to believe it. So, in any case, those are the only things, Bob, that I wanted to call and touch base with you about. I don't know, just observations. I did see something that I've been avoiding Facebook. I've been doing some reading of different things. I'll peruse through there and make my snide remarks, but I haven't been into it like some folks get into it. But a guy made a comment, and he was very challenging in it. And I thought, well, let me just see what stupid ass article he's referring to. He's kind of forcing you to read his article. And so I looked. I thought, well, why would a right winger post an article from Huffington Post? And I almost intentionally neglected it. But there was an article, and it kind of goes back to your observations a couple months ago. But that Colleen Rowley had written an article that Huffington Post had covered concerning James Comey and Robert Mueller's reputation, concerning the subject of 9/11 and their sterling reputation. And now Colleen Rowley, to me, is a bit of a hero in my heart concerning the Iraq War and the lead up to it. And like Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kwiatkowski with the Office of Special Projects or Plans, whatever it was called, where Cheney forced him to drum up fake intelligence. So I just kind of caught me off guard. And I thought, well, I did kind of read through some of that. And it wasn't real damning comments, but it does get back to the fact, will we get something of true significance? It seems like we have a little bit of the momentum right now, and of course that'll be taken away from us if they can. You could even see that with Sarah Huckabee today. You could tell she was she's overwhelmed, and you could feel the power of the British the European protests that have matriculated their way back here to the United States. And
I just had a note from Sparky telling me that there are massive protests underway in both New York City and D.C. again against the traitorous behavior. And notice, I'm being careful, not treasonous, okay, but traitorous. Treason is very closely defined in the Constitution. I don't know that treason fits, but traitorous conduct certainly does. You know, you
can second degree murder versus first degree murder.
You can be a traitor. You can be a traitor to the United States with an ally of the United States. Think about Jonathan Pollard.
Correct. That's the Israel case, isn't it?
Yeah. On the other hand, in order for it to be treason, it has to be an enemy, and there has to be aid and comfort. And why? And enemy is also closely defined as being a nation state or a group with whom we are openly at war.
Correct. Kind of it's not the right adjective, but exigent circumstances where something that's truly threatening is established in many people's minds as a legitimate threat. Where the person or people accused are helping.
that group of people, and that's.
But speaking of the use of that word, Mark, there's something else we need to take into account, and that is and like I said, I was up and getting moving and getting out pretty damned early today, and so I guess I was up during Trump's twooping hour, and. He made the insinuation, of course, via Twitter, and let's remember, those are official statements of the President of the United States.
That's correct.
And I'm paraphrasing, but I'm close, that anyone who did not approve of his behavior in Helsinki wants war with Russia. And that is some dangerous, damned rhetoric, Mark. And I, you know, to use the word rhetoric in relation to Donald Trump is like using, oh, I don't know, the phrase quantum physics in regard to Bozo the Clown. But it remains, it remains true. It's damn dangerous.
Totally agree.
To suggest that people want war simply because they object to the fact that he displayed himself as a traitor to the United States in front of, as we say around here, God and everybody.
God and everybody. He, and that's his way of telling the left to shut up. You know, of course, he's telling people because we oppose much war and much of wars, and especially, arbitrary, capricious entanglement. So that was his way, and it is dangerous. And then that leads into the Tucker Carlson thing with Montenegro, which you mentioned earlier tonight. That's almost like a death sentence. And then I guess I didn't realize that's the guy that he intentionally ran into. So it looks like Putin must have their, and that's the warm water. That's another warm water port. So that must be. I haven't done much reading into that. So it just seems. In other words, I don't think the right, especially, they don't understand that when you have terms of endearment with a authoritarian fascist, you're really empowering them. You're leaving yourself vulnerable. You don't have to go in swinging, which he, you know, so he uses that as a defense to shut up resistance. But in fact, by not challenging him or being a man and sticking up for himself and his country, he's left their future more in their own hands and less than ours when it comes to war or combat. And I'm not saying I would want that, but we do have agreements, which is why they belittle the United Nations, they belittle the NATO agreements, which are all legacies obviously from World War II and World War I. But so and that's living here in Florida, you've driven through the state in the last 20 years on or off. There are billboards around major cities, Tampa, Orlando, criticizing the United Nations, and you're like, what the fuck is that out here for? But that's if they soft sell that.
You don't have to be in Florida for that. I mean, I've seen it. Get us out of the UN.
Of course, yeah, right. Right, and so the more money that the Europeans, just a second, Bob. Sorry,
what's that, Chris?
Okay, just okay. Well, a second. Thank you. Europeans put into the United Nations, which is really never discussed, even on television that is more friendly to our cause of peace and justice, is the fact that the more they put in, the more that Lockheed Martin and Sikorsky. Do better with, mandatory weapon sales is really what it all boils down to. So if it's not actual Americans manning the weapon systems, they're buying the American weapon systems. Let me get my keys first. So any case, Bob, I just wanted to call and let you know I'm always out here, and I appreciate your hard work. I know you're tired, so I'll get out of your hair.
Mark, I appreciate the conversation. I always enjoy them, and I'm glad you decided to pick up the phone. I really am.
Well, I feel like a brother of yours, and we've been through a lot, and we've seen a lot. And I think
I just would say that Steve Bannon left right after Charlottesville because he was a part of that. He coordinated that. And what was Trump's comment about the, we have a winery there. Well, of course you have a winery there. That's where you planned the operation, which is where the people came from for the most part. Okay. I'll go get it, Chris.
Yeah, anyway. Sure.
I just got money for milk, Bob. So that means I'll just got to, you know, we stay in the Marine Corps. You buy and I'll fly.
It sounds good. All right, you take care, Mark.
All right, Semper Fi, Bob.
Later, man.
God bless you, man.
Bye now.
Bye.
Somebody, Mark, calling from Florida or thereabouts. Mark has a wealth of experience, and he always brings an interesting take to the conversation. Yeah, I am. I'm going to knock off 10 minutes early. Seems like we've got a bunch of long days these days, but I got another long one tomorrow. Up early and out and on the fly. But, 2 hours and 51 minutes ain't shabby. And we close the program with one brand new subscriber. Thank you so much, Stephen. And $535 to go in fundraising, which, sadly, will go up precipitously tomorrow. Or not precipitously, but, you know, the usual fundraising amount. Trying to keep the program on the air as best we can. And, hopefully it'll come down some. And thanks again to all our subscribers. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious, finite time engaging in this little program. There's nothing more valuable on earth than time, and that you share it here is an honor that you do so. I'm deeply honored by it. You make this community, and you make this community special. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.